and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Darren Hefty along with my brother Brian. We're going to be talking about resistant weeds on today's show and give you some hope. There are virtually no weeds that I can even think of. Well, there aren't any weeds I can think of that we can't find a solution for. And yes, sometimes they're growing in a pretty tough spot and our options may be a little bit limited. And sometimes it may require a little more work than others. But we've got some answers for you today, especially for some of the really common weeds that we're talking about that are resistant to some of the popular chemistries out there. We're also going to be taking your calls and agronomic questions throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. And if you've got an email you'd like to send us, radio@agphd.com is that address. We've got a number of soil tests that have come in here the last couple of days. We'll maybe dig into some of those later on as well. Brian, the topic of resistant weeds is certainly a popular one as we travel, well, as we used to travel around the country before this whole COVID thing. We would get a lot of questions all over, and sometimes it was some different weeds, but very commonly it was pigweed, some sort of pigweed, whether it's water hemp or Palmer pigweed, has to be the most common question we've had over the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, and one of the things, I was just writing something for our next magazine that, you know, there are a lot of weeds that people think are resistant, but they're not. They're just tolerant. If you're out there when the weed is an inch tall, the weather's perfect, you have great spray coverage, and you use a high rate of Roundup, then it actually can still control some Palmer pigweed, water hemp, common ragweed, maraschino. I'm not saying every one, but I am saying what we're dealing with isn't always resistance, it's tolerance. Either way, the point is the herbicide you used to use and the rate you used to apply no longer is controlling the weeds the way it used to. But, you know, this goes back, I mean, decades ago even. I just remember our dad talking to us about Banvil, and he said, you know, when Banvil first came out, I used a quarter pint. That's all I used. Sprayed it on all my corn acres. It literally killed everything, including all the grass. Well, today, I mean, we use a pint of Banvil, and it barely kills the broadleaves, and it certainly doesn't kill much for grass. So things have changed over the years, and the weeds just build up some tolerance. That, or we've controlled the easiest biotypes for that herbicide and left the biotypes that survive better when that herbicide is sprayed. Anyway, we've got plenty of options out there, and I know a lot of people panic about this thing, but it's not that tough. It's just that in some places, you might have to spend more money, or you might just have to change when you do your spraying. So, for example, in soybeans, if you just use some really good pre-emerge herbicides, that alleviates most of the problem. I mean, you go out there with the three pre's we talk about here on the show all the time, you're going to kill 99% of your Palmer pigweed or kochia, but you got to actually get it out there. And that gets to be the problem because a lot of times, I know how it is on our farm, it's go, 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 and all of a sudden, uh-oh, we didn't get the pre on, now what?
You're absolutely right about that, Brian. And that getting the pre out there timely is super, super important. And it's just like everything else in life. You've got to manage your time well. And when it comes to farming, the timing of everything is so important. We talk to farmers all the time who are utilizing the same products that we're talking about, the same tools we're talking about, even the same tillage paths or other cultural management practices. And there's such a wide range of success levels. Some are doing very, very well with many of these different methods, and others are struggling. And the timing is the number one thing. That's what you need to take away today, that, yep, there are products that can be used, there are management practices that can be used, but getting them done timely is super important.
Yes, absolutely. And I will come back to what I said earlier, too, about the weather. Weather and spray coverage have such a huge impact into this thing. If you have warm conditions and it's humid, and it has been that way for at least a few days, and it's going to be for the next at least couple of days, you're going to get better weed control than if it's too cold, too hot, whatever. I mean, you've got to have good weather, so then the herbicide moves quickly to the growing point, and I mean, to start with, it gets absorbed well. In terms of spray coverage, we've focused so much on drift management here in the last few years. We're still not there yet, by the way, but we focus so much on drift management, and unfortunately, drift management, what that really ends up being in a lot of cases is bigger droplets with worse spray coverage.
You know, that's one of the things that I think a lot of times we talk about and people don't necessarily hear that, yes, bigger droplets can be important and it can keep things in place a little bit more, but you are very likely giving up a little bit in your control. So where and when are you going to use those? One of the things that we'll mention as well is, well, look at your fields. Maybe you've got one field that's just terribly weedy. That's the one you want to spray on the perfect day. Maybe you find that day that, wow, there's a 3-mile-an-hour wind. It's blowing to a crop that's not sensitive. I've got the same exact crop right across the fence, so I have no drift worries at all. That's where you can get by and go for the coverage and use a smaller droplet. And then save those fields where, you know what, there's a sporadic weed here or there. That's a good spot where you can use large droplets and not really give up anything.
Yeah, I'm just not a real big believer in we have to, in all cases, manage drift. Drift is going to be okay if you're out in the middle of a field, you're a half a mile away from any other field around, you have a product that doesn't move very, very much. Let's say it's Buctrel or Liberty or, you know, something like that. I'm not that worried about it. What I am worried about is if we don't have good spray coverage, we're not going to get the weed control that we paid for. So herbicides cost a lot of money in some cases, and I just want them to work and work very well.
We're talking about resistant weeds on today's Ag PhD radio program. Obviously, there are a lot of weeds out there that have resistance to one chemistry or another. We're going to give you solutions for those today, talk through some of them. If you've got a question, you want to talk about a weed that we're not speaking about today, give us a call. We'll see if we can help with that as well. 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll also get to some of your questions that have come in overnight and during the day here today and during the show, during the Ag PhD mailbag later on as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Heat, drought, wind, hail, northern corn leaf blight, gray leaf spot. If your corn is under stress, you are too. Get Veltima fungicide, swift activity, with fast payback, an expanded application window. Makes life simple, and it's the secure choice. With powerful residual for visibly healthier corn. Swift, simple, secure. Veltima fungicide. Call your BASF rep today. Always read and follow label directions. Veltima fungicide is not registered in all states.
Acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, nobody scrutinizes performance like you do. And acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, the consistent performance of Vasgro brand soybeans helps to keep your profitability out in front, offering leading agronomic expertise and 100% exclusive genetics for strong yield potential. Ask your dealer how much further you can grow when Vasgro leads the way. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
As a little girl, I always wanted to run the combine because it meant I was helping Dad. And Dad always said, farmers are helpers. I'm teaching that to my daughters, that farmers help our family, our neighbors, and our community. It's what I do at work. I help farmers get the equipment they need. My name is Kim. I'm a farmer, and I work for Case IH.
Case IH, built by farmers.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Really important show. We're talking about resistant weeds and what you can do to stop them on your farm or your acreage or wherever you are at. If they're in your garden, if they're in your lawn, We'll find you all those answers. Of course, we're going to start with the crop production fields and try and deal with them. And just in the interest of making this show go very well, we've cut Brian out for a little bit. We're going to go the all Darren show here. Not just me. I've got Darren Unland with us with BASF. This is going to be fun. It's a Darren party here. How are you doing today, Darren?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Darren?
Doing well. All right, so we're talking about resistant weeds. Obviously, there's tons of them out there, lots of different species that are resistant to one chemistry or another. And what farmers are more interested in than complaining about, oh, no, this weed isn't killed by my favorite chemistry anymore, it's what can I do so I don't have these problems pop up on my farm?
Yeah, so there's that's a big question. And, you know, as we look around the landscape, we see herbicide resistance growing, and it's not in any particular area. It's not just one weed, but it's our biggest weeds, whether it's kochia, pigweeds, grasses in particular areas. It's a lot of different problems, you know, and so there's a lot of things that growers can be doing. Obviously, using different herbicides, so switching up chemistry, but also thinking about some of the mechanical or cultural things that we do on the farm. You know, one of the things that often may get overlooked that a lot of growers are, looking to now is using cover crops. You know, we often think about cover crops as, erosion management or nutrient management, but we also recognize that they can do a lot for helping suppress weeds. So, some of the key things we want to focus on are trying to preserve our herbicide technology as best we can today. And that means, you know, making the best applications we possibly can. So optimizing our timing, our coverage, our rates, but then also looking at some of these other practices that we do on the farm that can help augment that.
You're right. There are a lot of cultural practices that we've seen farmers adopting over the last 20 years, trying to fight resistant weeds, just do a better job on weed control, and also get higher yields. I can't tell you how many farmers I talked to, Darren, that say, you know, I went to narrow rows. That really helped me. I went to planting a little bit earlier. That helped me. I changed my fertility program. I added cover crops to the system. There's just a number of things, and they may not cost you any additional money. It may just be doing things a little different time to try to make sure you're getting that quick early crop canopy to hold weeds down.
Yeah, I think one of the other things that can help that we often don't think about, and especially right now this time of year, is harvest. You know, thinking about our sanitation or how we go from field to field. You know, I think a simple step can be starting with the cleanest fields and working to our weediest field. Or, you know, if we have a field, you know, generally the weediest parts are in the wet areas or the edges of the field. And that's frequently where we start. We start at the weediest spot and then we spread that seed around through the field. So it's some little things like that that can go a long way.
Yeah, I remember when we first started seeing pigweed resistance in our area, and you would just see streaks out in fields where, oh, there was one or two that got away, and it went through the combine and got drug for a whole pass through the field. We can certainly control some of those things. I know the way that we used to do it on our farm anyway, Darren, is our dad would be in the combine and we'd get out of school and he would save those kind of spots for when Brian and I would get back, and he'd say, all right, you guys get out there a pass ahead of me and clean them up. And we'd be out there pulling and taking weeds out of the field just to make sure they didn't run through the combine. Not really realistic in today's agriculture in many situations, but we can certainly leave those spots, harvest them later, and try to limit the spread of weeds. No doubt about that. Talking with Darren Unland here with BASF. Darren, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on today, and good talking to you.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity.
Let's head out to Delaware. We've got Tom Wood with us right now with Belsham. Tom, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Darren?
Doing well, too. And one of the big reasons that we wanted to have you on today, we're talking about Palmer amaranth. We're talking about weed resistance from a number of different species. And obviously, we've done some things on the farm where we pushed the easy button, and maybe it was, let's just spray Roundup every year. Or maybe it's, let's use ALS herbicides because they're cheap and they're pretty safe to use. But when we overdo some of those things, it sure comes back to bite.
Yeah, over time it does. And, you know, Belsham as a European-based company. The growing weed resistance was one of the main reasons we came to the United States. We had solutions that are working well for us in Europe, and are, we thought, highly likely this is going to work even better in the United States. So for us, we're an agrochemical, biological company whose focus is innovation. So our goal is to bring new innovations or unique innovations to the market. And you may have heard already that we recently received EPA approval for our Pyridate or Tough 5EC, which should be available in corn and also mint and chickpeas for the 2021 season.
You know, you bring up that chemistry, and there are certainly a lot of chemistries out there that we used to use or we used in different crops in different parts of the world that are out there and still effective. And for whatever reason, we just don't hear about them or just don't see them. And I know Brian and I have been around in this industry long enough, too, to say, hey, what happened with that chemistry? Why are we not using that anymore? Because it worked really good when we did.
Yeah, we... And Pyridate, or Tough, falls into that category. It's it was out in the early 2000s. It was effective, but it was up against glyphosate coming on, Bezo being launched, and with those chemistries in the market, I think people put, or growers put, Pyridate aside. But that was before we had all these cross-resistant weed problems. So now, with Pyridate available, we see it works highly effective in an integrated weed management program. So we saw adding to the mix can address those resistant weeds and give up to 100% control. And this is one of these things where you're like, don't take my word for it. We spent 3 years testing it in the field to make sure that coming into the market that we had an effective solution that we could say is an innovation for growers.
You know, it's one of those things, too, that we've talked about often on the show, that if you are under 40 years old, chances are your herbicide of choice has been Roundup for a long time. And as these resistant weed issues have popped up, been a lot of growers scratching their head, man, I don't know what to do. We've always used Roundup. But for those of us who are a little older than that, we remember, hey, there were a bunch of chemistries before. And yeah, Roundup got so cheap. And you're right, the Mezo got so cheap that they got used on tons of acres, and products that were even a dollar an acre more just got pushed to the side that, well, I don't need that. I got a cheaper option. But we do need all the options on the table if we're going to stop these weeds.
I think so. And we're not so bad if you put it in the tank, I would say, in terms of your total cost for a weed program. We know that Tough is synergistic with HPPDs, particularly Mezo, and also with Tapirolate, but we see it works extraordinarily well with Mezo. Even with atrazine, it enhances the atrazine performance with giving you the contact benefits with the systemic benefits. It speeds the kill. So it's a nice solution to add to your wheat program for a reasonable cost per acre.
Talking with Tom Wood here with Belsham. Tom, new name for us, Belsham, but really glad to have some chemistries out there to help us fight these tough weeds. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
We appreciate the time. I appreciate having the opportunity to speak to you. We are new, so for those who want to learn more about us, belshamusa.com, all kinds of information there, and any questions, we're happy to address.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom. Really appreciate it. We'll continue our discussion on resistant weeds on today's program and also take your calls and questions, too, at 844-44-AG-PHD.
Have resistant weeds invaded your cornfields? Tough 5EC, manufactured by Belsham Crop Protection, can help. When added to the post-emergence tank mix, Tough 5EC synergizes the effectiveness of HPPD inhibitors on key broadleaf weeds. In fact, university field trials have shown 5 to 30% increased control of herbicide-resistant Palmer amaranth and water hemp. Now that's tough on weeds. Ask your local retailer about Tough 5EC or visit BelchamUSA.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
What's the next big thing from the Roundup Ready Extend crop system? A soybean built on Roundup Ready to Extend technology or one with glufosinate tolerance? Great news, it's both. Expected soon. Extend Flex Soybeans. Always read and follow IRM where applicable. Grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Commercial availability in 2021 is dependent on regulatory approval. No dicamba may be used in crop with Extend Flex Soybeans unless and until approved. And no dicamba formulations are currently registered for such use in the 2021 season. Learn more at extendflexsoy.com.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
You would never plant seed or apply herbicide with a 20% success rate. So why are you still applying phosphorus fertilizer with a maximum availability of only 20%? Double your phosphate availability and increase yields with NutriCharge from AgroTech USA. NutriCharge's patent-pending technology protects phosphorus from negative chemical reactions that tie up your fertilizer investment. NutriCharge performs across all soil types and pHs. Contact AgroTech USA or your local Van Deese supply representative today.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior on our farm fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at soilwarrior.com.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're tackling a very difficult topic, resistant weeds and how to stop them on the farm. We've got Lowell Sandell with us right now with Valent. Lowell, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be with you today.
All right. I have found your company's products to be ones that I hear a lot of farmers talking about when it comes to stopping resistant weeds. And I think sometimes they get used in the wrong way. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Cobra, for example, I've heard guys for years say, well, this is my last ditch effort, my last shot at saving these weeds. They're getting away from me. I can spray some Cobra. And my response is generally, you're using that product entirely in the wrong way to make it work really, really well. And I wonder if some of these pre's are kind of getting misused a little bit too. So I wanted to talk to you about some of the products that you've got, because you've got answers both on the soil residual side and the post-emerge side too.
Yeah. You know, that's always kind of an interesting conversation to have with folks, when you're trying to clean up weeds like that. But like I'm sure you guys talk about with your customers, you know, starting off with a pre-emergence program that basically reduces the total amount of, plants out there in a post-emergence application is kind of what we're going for in terms of, using like Fierce or one of the Fierce products in a resistance management herbicide plan.
Well, one of the products that I think has been misused over the years has been Valor. And I've seen so many guys say, well, I'm just going out with Valor. Just Valor. It's pretty inexpensive, and that'll take out some weeds. And I thought, oh, no, I don't want to see resistance develop to a single chemistry. And I'm so happy that you've developed products with two modes of action, three modes of action, and you're using that Valor or flumioxazin component as a base. That's been really effective on our farm, and I know many other farmers have said the same thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a balancing act, just like you said. Valor is a great pre-emergence product for water hemp and Palmer amaranth. But just like you said, you know, it is one mode of action. And for growers that are, you know, wanting to use at least two effective modes of action in their pre-emergence program or in whatever application that they're making, you know, those fierce products are kind of the foundation of doing that in a soybean herbicide program approach.
You know, you mentioned the flumioxazin component, the Valor component, about the residual herbicide. And I think the burn down help has been really good. We've got a lot of farmers asking about what can I do on some of these winter annual weeds that I'm really struggling with, like mare's tail, for example, in our area is one that the growers have found really good success with those fall apps. Can you talk us through that just a little bit about how we can use a couple of different tools to take this weed out?
Yeah, so you know, when folks are trying to control those winter annuals in the fall, which is a fantastic time to do so, you know, henbit and mare's tail are probably the two targets they're really going after, or that we really need to get a handle on in those fall applications. And adding say a Valor at approximately 3 ounces in the fall does two things for folks. First, they're probably tank mixing it with either a 2,4-D or a dicamba product, and the Valor component helps speed the burn down of those winter annual weeds, but then it also provides residual control. So, you know, we talk a lot about water hemp having a large emergence window during the summertime, but these winter annual weeds, they're emerging right now, and they will be for at least another month here in a lot of areas. If we get a little rainfall, they'll really pop out there. So an application with residual in it, like you would get with Valor, kind of covers a big chunk of that fall emergence window as well.
All right. And many of these products can be used in your springtime residual program, too. So let's say that you're putting something like Valor out in the fall along with a 2,4-D or dicamba or something like that, and you're burning down weeds. You've got some residual for the fall. And of course, if you're in a dry area or an area like where we farm, Lowell, we're going to be froze. I wouldn't say we've got much more than a month left, and things will be frozen up pretty hard. And here we go. We're frozen until April. And so I don't think we have the breakdown on the herbicide that you would in the South, where that would probably burn up through the fall and early winter. And then in the spring, they'd be back putting more residual out there.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, hopefully with a fall application with residual, you'd get a little extension into the spring with the soils frozen, just like you said. But the question we answer or the question we get a lot is, will that spring residual from a fall application, will it be enough to help you, say, with water hemp or Palmer control? And usually that's asking too much of a fall application out there. So if you're going in the fall after those winter annuals, I think growers really still need to have a good spring pre-emergence program in place to be effective on water hemp and Palmer amaranth out there as well.
You know, that spring residual program, getting back to where you started just talking about using those pre's to try to take care of most of those weeds, and then it thins out what kind of pressure comes back. The early post-emerge applications in crops, especially in soybeans, have really changed really over the last 15 years, where the use of residual herbicides in that first pass going out has, in my opinion, really helped things. It's been good. The growers who have done it have seen a pretty nice return on investment. As long as they get some moisture to activate those residual products, it sure helps having that out there to keep that field weed free.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's one of the fastest growing segments in the herbicide, soybean herbicide market, is that early in-season overlapping residual. And, you know, when we talk about that, we talk about Perpetuo herbicide as being one of those options. But you're exactly right. If you get some rainfall to get that in-season residual activated and overlapped with your pre, you're doing about as good a job as you can do to prevent post-emergence selection pressure on glyphosate and the auxin technologies out there, and just keeps those options that much better for a longer period of time.
Now, in some areas of the country, in our farm, it was very dry here. And I know in Nebraska, where you're at, it was dry. It was really dry in some areas in Nebraska.
And it still is.
What are growers doing there? Are they changing things up if you're in a dry situation, or you just aren't seeing a lot of weed emergence in some of those areas?
Well, that's interesting that you asked that. I've actually been out and done a little scouting in some areas that I do some herbicide work in. And in spite of the dry conditions, I've seen both marestail and henbit germinated and growing here in the last 2 weeks. So we're a little further south than you are there in South Dakota, but I think if those weeds, they're right at the soil surface there. So if we get any kind of rainfall, they'll get up and get going here yet over the next month or so on that. So to this point, our recommendations that haven't really changed. I would just encourage folks, if they've had those problems in the past, just get out in the field, kick some residue around, and look for those little seedlings out there. And if they're there, I think it's worth a management operation this fall if they've given you trouble in the past.
Yeah, I agree. I think the thing about weeds is they are going to find a way to come, no matter how dry it is or how hot it is or how cold it is. There's always weed pressure out there. We're talking with Lowell Sandell down in a very dry state too, for the most part here in Nebraska. There have been some pockets that have caught some more rain, but wow, what a challenge stopping these resistant weeds. Lowell, thank you so much. Really appreciate all your time today and your expertise.
Yep, great to be with you. Thank you.
Talking about resistant weeds on our show today and taking your calls and questions too at 844-44-AG-PHD. Stay tuned.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
If you're looking to get the most out of your foliar nutrition and fungicide programs, ask your ag retailer about Nutex EDA from Sipcam Agro. Nutex EDA has been proven to increase foliar micronutrient tissue levels and maintain those levels for an extended period of time. When tank mixed with fungicides, Nutex EDA helps support plant health, resulting in higher quality and yields. Nutex EDA is an affordable and effective solution that should be part of every grower's high-yield toolbox.
Make every bushel count with the Endzone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shatter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. With the Endzone, you can combine higher moisture beans earlier in the season to reduce field loss, then use your bin fans to naturally reach your target moisture. Condition your grain for maximum profit with the Endzone. For more information, visit farmshopmfg.com.
When it comes to effective herbicide formulations, you know Nufarm. They've been bringing growers trusted brands like Burnmaster, Scorch, and Spitfire for decades, made right here in the USA. What's your favorite New Farm brand? Email it to turnuptheburn@newfarm.com and you'll be entered to win a monthly $1,000 product giveaway. In these unprecedented times, you're facing unprecedented pressure. New Farm's here to help.
Hey, Adam. New drone?
Not just any drone. I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree! In the power lines!
Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
A history of success means proven performance. But let's call performance what it is. Profitability. And boosting yours, no matter what the season brings, is the goal of DeKalb brand corn. Backed by exclusive genetics, whole farm solutions, and unmatched dealer support. Let nothing shake your perseverance. Ask your dealer how DeKalb brand corn can help you realize a future of performance. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We've been talking about resistant weeds on our show today, and we welcome your feedback at 844-44-AG-PHD. If you have an agronomic question, we can help with that too. This topic is not as much about, all right, let's look at each individual weed out there and diagnose a completely different strategy. Many of the weed problems we have can be stopped by, you heard all three of our guests so far talk about, hey, we need to have those pre-emerge residual herbicides down. We need to use multiple modes of action. And if you do that, you don't have as many problems. Because I just think you have to assume weed resistance is going to be out there in every field and manage it accordingly. Then you don't have a problem, because oftentimes if you let something get through that first pass, it's pretty tough to bring it down later. It gets too big. Feelings, Brian?
Yeah, I agree. I guess I would just say this. People, it's easy for panic to set in, especially when the media gets involved. And I get so sick of hearing ads and commentary about super weeds and resistant weeds that are so tough to control and everything. And I'm going, what are you talking about? We can kill all these weeds very easily. It's not hard at all. It's just it takes a plan. So, yeah, if you're going to go in at the last minute and you go, oh, no, I've got some 3-foot-tall weeds out here, well, of course, you're way behind the eight ball. But if you start right now on a plan for 2021, I mean, we can get weeds under control. That is not a big issue. And by the way, nothing is resistant to tillage, so all weeds will die that way. All weeds will die when you have fantastic crop canopy, so we want to do everything we can to raise a great crop. And all weeds will die when you pull them. So if you want to use some manual labor, you can do that too. So we have all kinds of options where there are absolutely zero issues. And when it comes to herbicides, we have dozens of herbicides that will kill most every weed out there. And sure, some of your favorites and some of the cheapest might not do it anymore, but that doesn't mean we don't still have options and good ones.
Yeah, there's lots of things out there, and it was kind of fun talking with Tom Wood, too, just about forgotten chemistries, that there's lots of things growers just haven't used. I remember a few years ago now, it's probably been 5 years, where I was talking to a younger farmer, and I had said something about using trifluralin as one of the three pre's, and he said, what is trifluralin? And I thought, wow, it's been a long time since that farm's used trifluralin, or what used to be called Treflan. And that's one of those chemistries that we never gave up on because it had such purpose, such utility out in fields. And really, it's always been pretty inexpensive, too. So some of these things aren't necessarily going to cost you more money. It may be something you just haven't used in a while. And like Tom was talking about, well, we've done 3 more years of study on this 20-year-old product just to make sure it still works. We know they're going to work. And when you have lots of experience like you do with some of these chemistries that we're talking about, you just don't have to worry. It's not like something brand new coming out that you really have no idea on.
Right, yeah, and here's the other thing. You know, there are companies out there all the time that are trying to sell you what they have, not necessarily what's best for your weed problems. That's why we do our show. That's why here at Ag PhD, we're constantly trying to feed you information so you know what works best and what doesn't work well. Instead of you getting sold something that your dealer has or your agronomist is trying to talk you into for, you know, so they can go on a trip somewhere. I mean, come on. So we got to have great weed control. And I don't care about these modes of action that don't work well. I just get so frustrated when I talk to farmers and they say, yeah, I'm using this. It's got this program. I got three modes of action. And I go, no, you don't. You have one effective mode of action. That's the key question. Are these modes of action you're using actually working on the target weed? So, you know, the number one thing I would say, as I've worked with farmers for over 30 years now as an agronomist, the number one thing that people come to me with all the time is, Brian, help me save money. Help me save money. Well, I can help you save money real fast. Cut the modes of action that don't kill your target weeds. That's how you save money.
Weeds just rob so much yield. And as you're running through the field with the combine, if you're still out there going, take a look whenever you see a little weedy patch. Just jump out of the combine for a minute. Count the pods in the soybean plants or take a look at the corn plants and see how the ears were impacted. And then run your combine through and it will change how you think about weeds. Obviously, we don't want anything that looks terrible out in our field because we just don't want to see a mess. But don't forget, it just destroys us on yield. And when we miss some of those spots in a field, not only is it a problem this year when those weeds go to seed, you're going to have a big problem for years to come.
Okay, we got to make sure that we're giving our listeners something that they can use and use right now. So let's talk about some specific weeds real quick. And I just, if you're listening to the show today and you go, oh, I'm not using that herbicide program, I want you to check into it a little bit and figure out what you're using versus what we're talking about and just see what the differences are. And if you have questions, call us, email us, we'll talk it through. We do that all the time here on the show. But like I was saying a minute ago, there are so many products that are getting used that aren't effective, and that's a waste of money. So, like, let's just talk Palmer pigweed, water hemp, same thing.
Palmer pigweed, kochia, lamb's quarter, small-seeded broadleaves in general. We can say we can lump a whole bunch of weeds into this because the strategy is still going to be the same to managing them.
Yep.
When you have small-seeded broadleaves, they're going to germinate in the top half inch of soil to inch of soil. They're small little seeds. They're going to be up close. So you have to focus on keeping that chemistry really concentrated in that top inch of soil.
Okay, so we talk the 3-pre program all the time, and the reason we do, metribuzin has activity on all those weeds. Trifluralin has activity on all those weeds, or prowl. Prowl is the no-till product. Trifluralin is the conventional till product. And then you've got Valor or Authority, the two PPOs. Both of those have activity on all those weeds you just mentioned. So we have three effective modes of action. And I would say if you're in conventional tillage, you can lightly till them in. Just don't bury them. Just lightly till them in, and they work great. You do not have to lay them on the soil surface. You can lightly till them in, including metribuzin, Valor, or Authority. They're all just fine with light tillage.
All right. When you've got those same weeds in wheat, we really like Sharpen. That's one that you can use for broadleaf control in wheat. It can be safely used at a pretty strong rate. You can use a couple ounces. Has great residual, especially when wheat's grown in a lot of drier areas. It's going to lead to that Sharpen lasting even a little bit longer out there. Awesome choice. In corn, there's a lot of confusion.
Let's go back and finish up on and how we're going to kill these weeds that you just talked about. We started with soybeans. I want to finish post-emerge because that's the crop we have the most issue with.
I was going to give you
pre-options
for each
three. We don't get a lot of wheat questions with water hemp. So, so let's say that I'm post-emerge now in soybeans. What I would suggest you come with is a PPO, either Flexstar or Cadet, plus a Group 15, like Outlook, Dual, Warrant, any of those kind of products. And combine them. So like Warrant Ultra has the active ingredients in Warrant and Flexstar. Anthemax has the active ingredients in Zidua and Cadet. So something like that very early post. Then later on, come with your Liberty, your 2,4-D, your Dicamba, you know, whatever it is. There's also cobra that has activity on many of those weeds. So it just depends on exactly which weed we're talking about. But you do the three pre's. You follow with the two early post modes of action. Now we've got four different effective modes of action out there. We've got five different chemistries, and now you can count on 99.99% control, at least in the early season, and usually you've got residual to carry you late as well, as long as you're getting good crop canopy.
The key here, once again, is timing, and that first pass that you make, if you're putting a group 15 out, keep in mind that group 15 has no burn down activity. It's a residual product. It's going to be killing those weeds as they germinate in the soil, so you've got to get it sprayed out there, and you've got to get some moisture to move that down in. So if you've got irrigation, you could water after you put that group 15 out. If you don't have irrigation, then it's just super, super important. You get that done early so you have time to catch the rainfall. Then when we look at that PPO that you're putting out there, the Flexstar, Cadet, whatever type of product like that, you've got to spray those ones early too, because they do have good burn down, but they have good burn down and small weeds. With broadleaf weeds, they have so many growing points that as they get taller, they get really tough to have enough active ingredient to bring them down. So make sure you're making that first pass early. Then, like you said, come back with your Liberty or something else later. We're talking about resistant weeds on today's Ag PhD program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Vellum is Rotem North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Maintaining your crops is as important now as it's ever been. Howler, a revolutionary fungicide from AgBiome, can help. It provides long-lasting protection from a broad spectrum of foliar and soil diseases that affect crops. Howler is OMRI listed, has multiple modes of action, and has minimal pre-harvest and re-entry intervals. It's flexible, easy to use, and is available right now. Visit agbiome.com/howler to learn more.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Downtime during spraying can lead to huge yield losses. Keep rolling with the Pentair Hypro Force Field. This pump features a unique self-regulated chamber that allows the pump to run dry while eliminating cracked seals, so you can spray longer and more reliably. Learn more at pentair.com/hypro.
Make every bushel count with the Endzone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shatter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. Condition your grain for ideal moisture with the Endzone. Visit farmshopmfg.com for more.
You're all set with the 4x4 turbo diesel truck. How about some options? Spray and bed liner?
Absolutely.
Tailgate step and Nerf bars?
Gotta have them.
Tie down hooks and stainless steel toolbox?
You know it.
Tinted windows?
Of course.
Options are good. That's as true in the field as it is with your pickup. In addition to taking care of tough weeds, new Open Sky herbicide gives you more rotational choices than ever before and an easy-to-handle formulation.
Gooseneck tow package?
Yep.
Discover more Open Sky details at openskyherbicide.com.
I'll take predictability where I can get it.
With their CropWise Seed Selector, NK Seeds combines local knowledge and local data to show me where their seed fits.
And even where it doesn't. Because out here, predictability is hard to come by. And success matters. Find your seed at nkseeds.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We've been talking about resistant weeds on our show today, and we get talking about small-seeded broadleaves. We have so many of those types of weeds, pigweed, kochia, lamb's quarters, that are just getting to be tough to control. pigweed and kochia definitely have got some big time resistance issues. Lamb's quarters, I don't know so much that there's resistance out there, just that they're tough to control. There's lots of them oftentimes, and they get many, many growing points on them quickly. That's why we're starting with pre-emerge herbicides to wipe out as many of them as we can and give our post-emerge herbicides a lot better chance of working, giving us a chance to get good coverage. Because you think about it, when you have those big, thick weed patches, you've got tall weeds in there, and they've got bigger leaves, and it's tough to get coverage on the little weeds that are hiding underneath. So oftentimes we see the big ones get burnt off, and then some other ones come. And I don't know how many times I've been called with, wow, how come the big weeds died and the little ones didn't? Well, that's pretty easy when you think about it. It's just a matter of they couldn't get physically touched by the herbicide. That's a challenge. That's why we start with these pre's. So anything else you want to say on soybeans, Brian, or can we talk wheat real quick?
Yeah, I would just say, look at your target weed and let's take the worst one you've got. And that's what you have to develop your program around. So like we were just talking about, many of these herbicides or many of these weeds are controlled by the same herbicides, but it starts with pre's. Then you got to have a good early pulse program with residual. Then you can come with something later. But yeah, let's move to wheat. My favorite one in wheat is kochia. I get more questions about kochia in wheat than any other weed. Now, granted, on your farm, if you're listening today, that may not be your number one problem, but it's either grass or it's kochia.
Hey, well, Brian, let me interject this question too, because Janelle, you want to hit the mailbag music real quick?
Brian, it's now mailbag time with Brian and Darren.
Brian always likes to hear the mailbag music before we take questions. So Ryan had a question about wheat, and this one's going to fall right into this too. He said, I'm farming in southern Indiana. I'm planting soft red winter wheat, and I need a residual herbicide to stop henbit, chickweed, and mustard, and wondering what the timing would be on the application for that as well. And this falls right into it because those weeds, we would use the same option going out there with a pre-plant product sharpen, or it could be done right after planting as well.
Right, exactly. But sharpen's the product you use. Use it at 2 ounces to the acre. It's going to cost you $8 to $10, but absolutely do that. And then that's going to take care of most all of your kochia. It's going to take care of, you know, those weeds that he has for an issue, your winter annuals, everything. It's really, really outstanding. It's just you can't use it in beans at that kind of rate. And that's the reason we don't ever recommend it in soybeans, because you're ahead to use a different PPO, Valor or Authority. Those are actually labeled in soybeans, and you can use a high rate to give you residual. Sharpen can only be used at 1 ounce in soybeans, but in wheat and corn, you can use 2 ounces. In fact, in corn, you can use even more. But yeah, use 2 ounces in wheat pre-emerge. Now, there's also Prepare that does have activity on a lot of non-ALS-resistant broadleaves, and it's got activity on grass. So, I mean, you basically just have two choices in wheat. It's either Sharpen or Prepare, or actually you could use them both because Prepare only costs like $3 or $4 an acre.
Yeah, that's a good combo and does broaden your spectrum just a little bit and give you a couple different modes of action. And then post-emerge, we just don't have a lot of trouble killing broadleaf weeds in wheat in most cases, especially when we have a pre-down that takes out so many of them. And then the ones you're fighting aren't nearly as big. You've got crop canopy to choke things out too. Let's jump to corn, Brian, because this one is a little bit confusing. There's so many of these combination products with a broadleaf killer and a group 15 in them to choose from. And I do see that when we're putting it out there, it's a reduced rate of a group 15, so our grass control is probably not as good as just using a full rate of harness.
Yeah, but here's the whole thing. Our topic today is resistant weeds. How many questions do you get per year where a guy says, oh, I'm having a problem controlling resistant weeds in my corn? I don't know that I got a single one last year.
No, but this is your shot when you've got a rotational crop like a corn or a wheat to do 100% job on weed control. So when you go back to a cotton or a soybeans or a sugar beets or an edible beans or something where it's tougher to kill weeds, hey, at least I'm coming in with a clean field from last year, so I have less pressure.
True. And it just depends on which weeds we're after, but we just...
I think you know, part of the thing Brian was trying to say, it just depends on which weeds we're after. If we're after broadleaf weeds, we love starting with some of those combo products early to get at least one or two modes of action out there to try and stop broadleaf weeds. Then when we come back post-emerge, you've got many choices, but the best ones that we've seen, if it's worth the money for you, status is normally a little bit more expensive, but it's two modes of action. It's just been fantastic on broadleaf weeds. And for the fields that have lots of pressure or lots of different species of weeds out there, that's generally where we lean. If you say, you know what, the HPPDs are working good for me, I can use some meso, I can use a number of different products, awesome. That works well. Add a little bit of atrazine to it if that fits for your rotation. We've done pretty well with those. And like we were talking about earlier in the show, we're seeing a lot of those HPPDs now, since they're so cheap, getting tank mixed with a number of the other broadleaf killers out there too. So like Brian is saying, we normally don't have a lot of calls about corn and having big trouble with weed control on the broadleaf side. So yeah, just wipe it out in the corn. So when you get back to your soybean or other crop that it's tough to kill broadleaf weeds in, you don't have so much pressure. All right, let's dive back into the Ag PhD mailbag here. I got one from SD who said, you were talking about sunflower production the other day, wondering how many seeds per acre are you putting in and what would be the distance between the plants and so forth. Well, thanks, SD. Normally on sunflowers, a lot of growers are planting 16 to 20,000 seeds per acre, but it could be a lot lower than that depending on what your climate is and how dry things are and what your purpose is for the sunflowers. I would suggest downloading the free Ag PhD Planting Population Calculator app. It's free download and free to use. You can just type in whatever your row spacing is in your population. So I just ran, for an example, 16,000 population in a 30-inch row. That would be about 13.1 inches between each plant. Thanks, SD. Really appreciate that. Brian, got a soil test that came in. This is from Pete in Wisconsin. He said, big fan of your show. Love your meticulous detail to crop management. Well, thanks, Pete. We appreciate that. He said, I've got a soil test from some rented ground for you to look at. But one question. I've got manganese levels that are lower than, or I'm sorry, that are significantly higher than my iron levels. My manganese is at 71 parts per million. My iron is at 31 parts per million. What is the problem with that, and what would you recommend to fix it?
Well, here's the whole thing. It's just like on the show quite often we talk about the phosphorus zinc ratio. And you just end up with some of these ratios if they're not right. So in other words, we say the soil isn't in balance. We don't have balanced soil fertility. Then your yields end up dropping. So, you know, it's not like you're probably going to have some disaster when the manganese is higher than the iron. But what we have found is that if the iron is higher than the manganese, usually you're in better shape for yield. So that's why if, let's say, you needed lime, I'd take a water treatment lime that's got iron levels that are really high. That's what we did on our farm, raised our iron levels. Real easy, real inexpensive. So otherwise, there are certainly iron products that you can use out there.
Yeah, I think a couple of good things that you got going for yourself here, Pete. One, your average soil pH is 6.3. And looking across all the tests, there's only two that dip below 6. So your pH overall is in the ideal range. The other thing is your cation exchange capacity is low. And you may say, oh, I wish I had a little more holding capacity in my soil. Well, maybe, but when you're in the 8 range for CEC, that means it takes less product to fix some of these deficiencies. So if you wanted to get your iron level, your average level is 31, you wanted to get it up to say 80, well, that's not going to be hard to do, and you're going to get a quicker response in some of these lighter soils.
Well, maybe, because it can move around in the soil.
Yes.
A little more. But I think where Darren was going with that is like base saturation. We talk about base saturation because that's ratios.
Yeah, like, well, we've got a 3% base saturation potassium, for example, here. You
right.
want to get it to 4, it's not terribly expensive.
No, it's only going to cost a few dollars. So anyway, yeah, it's not the end of the world when you have an 8 CEC, but it's just different, and your soil isn't going to hold stuff as well. So iron and manganese can move through the soil to some degree, and that's why you just kind of have to keep applying in certain cases.
All right, thanks for the question. We really appreciate that, Pete. Thanks for checking us out, too. Had a fun time talking about some of these resistant weeds. Yes, it's not easy, and it definitely takes some planning out front to make sure you've got multiple effective modes of action every time you're going to be out there in the field. But if you take multiple shots at these tough weeds, they become a lot less tough to fight and a lot less tough on your yields, too. Thanks for listening to today's program. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.